All right. Well, we are a church that brings our Bible to church because we also read our Bibles. One chapter a day, 5 days a week. That's us. And I'll give this to Sarah. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to go into our confession. I need my Bible. And we're going to say this confession together. This is my Bible. It's God's word for me. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Because I believe and act on God's word, I can boldly confess I will never be the same. I will stand in the time of trial. I will prosper and I will have whatever God has promised. Go for it, Sarah.
Hello, good morning. I'm reading from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 12. That day Jesus went out of the house and sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him."
Praise God. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Pastor Chloe. We're doing a series on the parable of the sower. And Jesus said to his disciples that understanding this parable is foundational to understanding all of his parables. So in Jesus' explanation of the kingdom of God, he said this is a foundational understanding. And believing that we have ears to hear this morning, you notice Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, hear." And we can hear and it can go into our brain, or we can hear, accept as being true and meditate on it, and it can go into our heart. And Jesus, he said in Mark 11, those who have faith of the heart, if you believe in your heart. And then all through Ephesians, there's two prayers in Ephesians where Paul prayed for the church, and he prayed that that God would open the eyes of the understanding of our heart. So I pray that we're all soft towards God here, all right, that we have a heart that is open. We've got ears to hear. So to that end, I want you to put one hand behind this ear and the other hand to... All right, now that... Thank you, miss. And go, "I have ears to hear." Amen. Praise God. So we learned, first couple of weeks, we learned about the different types of soil, and we're going to be talking more about them later. But one of the key things we learned is that we can choose to be the soil that's me. In other words, the soil that we really are in Christ, we can choose to be that soil. I don't believe that this sermon was a fait accompli. I don't believe that this parable means that you are, if you're that soil, you're stuck being that soil. I know in times of my life I've been very much like the soil, the first soil where there's a God speaking but it just gets taken straight away. And I know that there's other times in my life where I hear a message and go, "Oh, that's great," and I walk away and the first problem I have with it just gets flown out. Am I the only one like that? And then the third type of soil, I know there's been times where I held beliefs onto them fast, but cares and anxieties, all worldly pleasures distract my thinking and they get choked. So the good news there is whatever we've been in the past, we don't need to be in the future. That we can look at ourselves and look at how we're hearing and look even this morning how we're receiving the Word of God. And that doesn't mean everything I say is the Word of God, but the Word of God is in there. And so you might just have to like be as smart as the old cow and eat the hay and spit out sticks. All right? So we learned that we can be the soil. We can choose to be good soil. And then we learned that when God wants to move in people's lives, He sows seed. And that is speaking through His Word. When God wants to move on the earth, He sows seed. He speaks with His Word. All right? And that is when we take that into our heart and it's mixed with faith, it bears fruit. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, day one, He created the heavens and the earth, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit moved through the chaos and it sorted it all out. Who knows that God didn't need our help to sort out the chaos? Right? Who knows that He didn't make us on the first day and say, all right, you just got to get in there and you got to sort it all out. Now, God spoke His Word and the Holy Spirit moved according to that Word. And then He created light. He didn't need our help to create light. Do you understand that? He didn't say, right, I've got a job to do, but I'm going to need some help. He had plenty of power, plenty of wisdom to create light. And then He separated the land from the ocean and He created living things on all those different days. And then at each time, He didn't really need our help for that. He kind of had it all under control, didn't He? Right? And He spoke and the Holy Spirit moved. And then when He created us, it was on the sixth day. And you know what the first thing He did is? He said, have a day off. Have a day of rest. The Bible says we are to strive to enter the rest. That means we are to put aside this idea that everything that comes to us is work determined, and to accept the idea that the way God moved in the beginning, speaking His Word and the Holy Spirit moving, is the way He moves now. And so when God wants change in your life, be it healing, be it how you treat your spouse, He'll make His Word available to you. And it might be, it's all in the Bible, but it might be in the preacher or good books. He'll make His Word available to you. He'll speak. And the Holy Spirit watches over His Word to perform it. The Bible says He watches over His words to perform it. And it's our heart, our believing and receiving and acting upon it that makes the difference, makes us good soil. So any word you hear today that's from God, it can multiply in your life in abundance what God has for you because we're good soil. Amen? So we're going to look at a few verses. We might turn to them or I might just refer to them. But the first one I really want to, it's very interesting. It's in Hosea 10:2 and 10:12. It says, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness upon you. Sow with a view to righteousness. We may have many needs in our life, and for each need, there is a word from God. So if we've got financial needs, there's a word for God about that. If we have emotional need, there's words for God about that. If we've got physical needs, or there's words for God about that. And the Bible says to sow with a view to righteousness. Hosea was talking to a rebellious nation, and as Paul says in Galatians 6, do not be deceived. A person will reap what they sow. If they sow to their flesh, they'll reap destruction from their flesh. But if they sow to the Spirit, they'll reap life from that. So Hosea is calling to us, and he's calling to the nation of Israel. He's saying, sow to righteousness. So if we've got, there's words for us. If we've got financial needs, there's words in there about financial needs, and we can speak those. We can sow those. We can meditate on those. We can sow to righteousness and reap a harvest of love. Or if there's strife in our life, there's words in there, we can sow to those and we reap a harvest of love. So where there's a need, there's a seed. Where there's a need for God to move in our life, there's a seed there, a word of God that He has for us. And, you know, there's a bit of a teaching going around, Logos and Rhema, well, it's got to be quick and it's got... No. The word of God, the Logos of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword. You meditate on it, claim it, the Holy Spirit quickens it, brings it to life. So there is, we are to sow to righteousness. We are to look for opportunities. One of the parables that I'm going to talk this morning a little bit about faith. And what produces faith, and how sowing difference into our life produces faith that we can act on in those areas of our life. But one of the parables that Jesus told was the parable of the tares and the wheat. Remember that parable? He said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who goes out to sow, and he sows the wheat. And then at night time, some dastardly person with a black cape sows tares, sows unbelief, and sows discord, and sows things which grow in a person's life that are not from the kingdom of God. Now, that parable was about the whole community of believers, but it's also about our life. Because very often seeds get sown in our life which are good, but alongside them at night at another time, or someone says a word to us, or we're reading the wrong thing, or we're watching too much bad news on the TV, and little seeds of the tares get sown in our life. And we're to learn to distinguish between them. I told you the other week that I love a good lawn, but you know there's those dastardly weeds. They're called, I think they're called farmer's friends. One way I've heard, because they just stick to the farmers. So, you know, you've seen those, they come up and they've got a little yellow flower on them, and then when they see they're those sticky little, prickly little, dastardly, demonic, it's a demonic weed. It sticks to you. You've seen the little black spikes, and you can be just walking innocently through your garden, you know, and you come back, and there your leg is covered, your pants are covered with these black sticks. You got them? Come on. What do you call them? I call them demonic. They just jump on you, and that. You know, there's some beliefs are like that, and they're not supposed to be there, but they stick to you. And so what I've learned over the years is I'd go for a walk around the back. My daughter Elise, she planted pumpkin seeds. You know, when you plant pumpkins, you should never plant them close to the house. True? All right? Especially on the Sunshine Coast, because they will take over your house. You'll need to ask permission to enter your front door. And this... Anyway, between them, and so it's grown all over our path. Did you clean it up the other day? Because someone did. I think it was out here this morning. But I noticed these dastardly things, these dastardly weeds that, you know, the devil's prickles get in there. You've got to pull them out early. You understand? You've got to get in there and pull them out early. And sometimes you've got to soften the soil. It's best to go out now after rain to pull them out. This Hosea said, soften your soil. Prayer, meditation, soften your heart so you can hear from him. All right? So we're going to talk about sowing different seed into our life. The Bible says in Romans, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what we hear and what we listen to and what we meditate on is extremely important. Faith for salvation comes by hearing the gospel message. All right? Years ago, I went to a Billy Graham crusade, 1979. I went to a Billy Graham crusade in Sydney, 70,000 people there, and just the simple gospel got preached, just a simple gospel. It was so simple, it was eloquent, and he did an altar call, and tens of thousands or thousands of people came forward, and the seed for the gospel was sown, and the gospel was heard, and a gospel harvest was reaped. A few years later, that in the probably about 1984, 1985, I was in Nigeria, and they said, "Would you like to come? We want you to preach." I said, "Where are we going to preach? A prison." I said, "Okay." So he went to this prison with hardened criminals, and it was a huge courtyard, a building about this size with a big courtyard in the middle, and all these hardened Nigerian criminals hanging out from every window. And I thought, what am I going to preach? Well, you know what you preach? You preach what you want to harvest. You sow the seed. From that seed, you want to reap the harvest. So I explained about how even though they'd sinned, Jesus died for them. His blood cleansed them, that they can now know that going. These were murderers and thieves, and know that they can go to heaven. And they responded, and hundreds gave their life to the Lord. I did nothing. I just sowed the seed. You understand? So the type of seed you sow will affect the harvest in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 8:29, and we may have it there or not, but you can turn to it. There's a series of miracles that have happened, outstanding miracles. Matthew 9, verse 18. Keep tip on her toes. And there's a healing of the synagogue. I won't read this, but you know, the synagogue official comes and his daughter is at the point of death. And so Jesus was to go to the house to heal them. And then on the way, the woman in Mark 5, it tells a story, the woman with the issue of blood, who having heard about Jesus, she said to herself, if I but touch his cloak, I shall be made whole. And pressing through the crowd, she touched his cloak. And immediately she felt the power of God coming into her. And so these outstanding miracles were happening. And then it says in verse 26, the news spread throughout all the land. And Jesus went from there, and two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, the Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came up to him and said, and Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." He touched their eyes. "It shall be done for you in accordance to your faith." This is a very challenging line. "It shall be done for you in accordance to your faith." Just notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, "It shall be done for you in accordance to how good you've been." How He didn't say it'll be done for you by how long you can pray and how long you can fast and how much of you. He didn't say that. He said it will be done for you according to your faith. Now that means it coming down from your faith. So coming from your faith, he says, what you believe about me is what's going to happen to you. So apparently seed had been sown in their life through hearing about the official's daughter and hearing about the woman with the issue of blood. A seed had been sown. And so Jesus said, according to what you believe is what's going to happen to you. Now, we know what they had been hearing. How do we know what they had been hearing? Very wise of you not to answer it. We know because of what happened to them. So we know that they had been hearing that Jesus was able to heal them. We know that they had been hearing that Jesus was willing to heal them. And when they came to him, they knew that he was wanting to heal them. That is what they had heard. That is the seed that was sown. That is the harvest they reaped. We need to sow seeds of righteousness in our life. I wonder if they'd heard about Jesus after he'd fed the 5,000. So Jesus feeds the 5,000 and there's two blind men walking past. And they said, people come, he just fed 5,000 people. And the next one comes, he just fed 5,000 people. He took the bread and he broke it and he fed 5,000 people. I wonder what the blind people would have asked for. Perhaps they needed a new blind stick or they needed some food. And so they would have said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can give me a blind stick. You can give me some provision. Because that's what they heard. They would have heard that. They would have believed for that. I always wonder, this is just a little side journey, but how did two blind people follow Jesus? Come on, fans. How did two blind people follow Jesus? I mean, they heard about this the synagogue child and they heard about the woman. It says they followed him. They must have been, okay, he's just healed. Did he hear that? He's healed a synagogue official. He's healed his daughter. Wow, that's good. He's healed his daughter. Whoa, did you hear that? A woman with the issue of blood. He's healed her. And it says they followed him. This is free. You don't have to pay extra for this. There's nothing deep theological about this. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just a novel. They're probably going, they follow Jesus, having heard. All right, no jokes, thank you. But they heard something. They heard that he was a healing God. Right now, where you are, expect God to touch you. Because if you've heard that he's a healing God, you can expect him to touch you. You can breathe that in. Now, faith is not. You got the clock behind you, ma'am. That's all right. That's all right. I got it now. Faith is not one size suits all. It's like, you know, when you buy a T-shirt for the whole football team, you just one size. It's not like that. Faith can be weak, it can be strong, it can be little, it can be great. You can have faith in some areas and not faith in other areas. And whichever you have developed or God's and you sought him and you developed, that's the area that you will prosper in. And so it's not one size fits all. You can have, the Bible talks about little faith and weak faith. Both of them are ineffective, but weak faith, you know, you can actually have strong faith and it be weak. You can have really firm beliefs on something that you're sure about, but it's ineffective. Because the word there means ineffective, it brings no life. So in Romans chapter 14, for example, I don't know if you remember this, but there's people who firmly believed that they could not eat meat. They're called vegetarians. You know, vegetarians are mentioned in the Bible. Come on now. They couldn't eat meat that was sacrificed at the altar. The Bible says their faith was weak. It says it was weak because it was ineffective. It couldn't bring them life. So even though they strongly, firmly, adamantly, furiously held on to this belief, the Bible says their faith was weak because it was ineffective. So you can have areas of faith in one area that are very strong, and areas of faith in other areas that are very weak. And that's why you've always got to be careful. Don't come to me asking about the day of the week that Jesus is going to come back. I do not know. My faith, you go and see Ray. He'll be able to tell you. Now, what I'm saying is that I've got so much reading and studying on other areas of Scripture. I've not studied that area. I've studied a little bit. I've studied enough to get the right general direction. But you're not going to find, you're not going to get a lot of help from me in that area. Isn't that right, Ray? That's it. There's other people that you're going to go and get their videos. But there's areas which your faith can grow strong in, and yet other areas that it can still be neglected. I had an auntie. She's gone to be with the Lord, and she was a great saint. And she was a Salvation Army, so very senior in Salvation Army. She married at a ripe old age. Not old. She was still, but he was a fair bit older than her, and he developed cancer. And the thing is, in some areas of faith, you can be strong in so many areas, but if the word factor is not developed in that other area of your life, then you won't prosper in that area of your life. It's got nothing to do with whether you're a good Christian or not. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got whatever that means. It's got nothing to do whether you've lived a life serving Him. It's got nothing to do with that. What it's to do with is whether your faith's developed in that area. And I can remember trying to talk with them about it because, you know, as a 21-year-old, you know everything. It's worse when you're 20. And you know everything, so you've got to tell them to run their life, you know. And I love them for their faith. They pushed back because it was like, well, whatever God's will is, it'll happen. Do you know there's a lot of things that happen in your life that are not God's will? Because we have to sow to righteousness. We have to sow in that area of our life. We've got to find the Scriptures to stand on and believe in that area. And he passed away, and years later, I think a heart softened towards the idea. But it's a terrible feeling, of course, when your husband's passed away and then you realize that maybe there was more we could have known about that. And that's all right. He's healed now. Amen. And you know what's even better? She's with him. And they wouldn't come back if they could, because in the end, there's no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness. But we need to be humble enough to accept that we do not know everything. And there's more we can learn. You'd hate to think you got to my age and knew everything. You'd hate to think you got to 52 and know everything there is to know, wouldn't you? Now, Marcel, you wouldn't know that. You're not there yet. Because there's always more we can know and we can grow. My spiritual dad, who Linda and I trained under, and he went on to be with the Lord in 2003. His name is Brother Hagen. And I was listening just this week to the Winter Bible Seminar in Tulsa, and Pastor Hagen, his son, who is my pastor, was telling this story about a child growing up, as a child growing up. Now, what we're talking about is how you can have faith in some areas and be blessed in those areas, but not in other areas. It's no condemnation, it's no guilt, it's no shame. Let's be humble. You know humble wins. You know humble wins. Do you know humble wins? Humble wins. And say, I don't know everything. I can learn more. I can treat others with respect. I can defer to others. Humble wins. So anyway, he's telling this story about when his father first went into his ministry. Now understand, his father knew Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 because he got off his deathbed as a 16-year-old boy, a paralyzed heart disease, got healed, got off his deathbed. So he knew how to be healed. But then he went into ministry and then he was called into itinerant ministry. And Pastor Hagen was saying those first few years, we were on the verge of starvation as a family. He said, now understand this. If any sickness happened in our life, we would get healed just like that. Bang, but just sickness didn't come. You can remember having tonsillitis and that, and his dad speaking to him and saying, be healed in Jesus' name, or calling him up and over the phone, because he had faith in that area. But what he did not have was faith for finances. And so Pastor was saying, he said, if we had bread, we were happy, and it was luxury if we got to put mayonnaise on it. Mayonnaise sandwiches was a highlight of the week. So faith was developed in one area, but not in the other area. And then Brother Hagen was saying, he was traveling, this is after a couple of years, and he said, Lord, this is just not right. It's not right that my children are going hungry. They're all of them living in a one-bedroom unit. It's not right that that's happening. Why is that not right? And God said to him, because you haven't used your faith for finances in the same way faith for your health. And he said that was humbling to think that all the time God had promised him these things and he hadn't used it in the same way. So he drove back overnight and he got to the family, he got them all around the dinner table, said, we're now going to use faith for finance like we use faith for our healing. So they prayed around the table and they agreed that the money was coming in to meet all their needs. And Pastor Hagen said, from that time it started, it just began to turn around. It began to turn around. You can have faith in one area, but not in another area. He said, and from then on, Brother Hagen said, I was never without a new car. Because he was driving all around the state, so every year or two he needed a new car. One stage, he drove to California. The car was, the tires were bald, driven, 100,000 miles on it, this, that, and the other. He was going into a meeting and he said to the pastor, he said, at the end of this meeting, I'm getting a new car. And he said, my head was screaming at me. But he had learned that God provides, and when he has the need, he prays and asks and then he calls it in. And so Monday, Tuesday, when the next week came and gone, still no new car. And about the end of the second week, the pastor goes, I actually know someone who's a car dealer. Let's go and visit him. So he took a brother into the car dealer, and there was the model Oldsmobile that he wanted. I was saying this at the men's fellowship on the Tuesday night, the men's discipleship group. And it was the exact one. It had all the things that it needed, everything. And Brother Hagen says, that's the one. And the guy said, well, let's write it up for you. So Brother Hagen goes into the office to write it, to get it written up. He's got no money. And the guy says to him, well, have you got a trade-in? He said, yeah, I've got this trade-in out there. It was this clapped-up Oldsmobile. I gave him like double what was worth for it. And then he said to him, you know what? He said, you know, you're a you're a pastor. I'll give you this at below my ticket price. So it was like a $7,000 car. He gave it to him for $5,000. Below my ticket price, I'll give it to you. You can have it. And he still hasn't got any money. And the guy goes, oh, you know what? I'll cover it for you. You just pay, send me some money when you got it, and I'll cover you for it. So he drove out of there with a brand new car. There's areas in our life that we need to develop faith in. I was born again. I first gave my life to the Lord, as you know. Well, as best as I knew, I was about a seven-year-old of the Salvation Army, and I knelt at the altar. And then again, when I was a little bit older. And at a Baptist youth camp, God bless the Baptists. And everyone should say amen. Pastor Donnie over there, God bless you, Baptist Church. And so it was the 17th of January, 1974, which, as you know, was a Thursday. I'm sure you can remember that. It was a Thursday, 8:30 in the evening, and I gave my life to the Lord, knowing what it was. And then I went and I got myself a little white Bible, you know. The thing with Baptists, they know how to get you saved. But this Baptist group, nothing about baptism and the Holy Spirit. Nothing. In fact, if you spoke in tongues, they'd probably throw you on the ground, cast the devil out of you. Because they thought that was from the devil. And that was the first Bible study. Has anyone heard that? No. Thank you, ma'am. All right. So the first Bible study, they said, you got to watch out for these tongues because they're from the devil. And I was looking there in my Bible. I said, that doesn't say that's from the devil, but I suppose if the Baptists say it probably is, you know. And then he said, you got the Holy Spirit when you get saved. And, you know, I read in John where Jesus, after the resurrection, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they received the Holy Spirit. So as far as I was concerned, that's all the Holy Spirit I could get. But I had my Bible and I was adamant. I knew how to get saved, and five of my friends got saved from a school and this, that, and the other. And then I went through without knowing anything more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit except that I got him when I was saved, and that's it. But you know what? I noticed some people's lives. You ever notice people, they've got a certain joy about them? It's just sort of bubbling up and inside of them. And I thought, well, they've got something that I didn't have. And do you know what? They went going to this little weird Pentecostal church in Tarriga, COC Church. And the weird little thing, and all their friends had this joy about them. I thought, well, that's funny because, you know, I didn't have that. We'd have outreaches and I'd get up on the back of a Pantech truck and you'd have the crowd at a big, fair, and I'd get my guitar and I'd drum Larry Norman songs. And you know, I was like a dried up old biscuit. You know, those army biscuits that crack your teeth. You got to soak them in water for 2 weeks, stir it around, throw out the biscuit and drink the water. That's how you get your nutrition out of it. And I was dried up old biscuits. But anyway, I went to university and I met an AOG pastor. And he said to me, Grant, I can, and we were singing, we're in part of a Christian concert that they were putting on, a Christian musical. And he said to me, Grant, have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got all the Holy Spirit I need. You can't have more Holy Spirit than what I've got. He said, well, that might be true. He said, but if you come around, I'll show you some scriptures. And I noticed about him, he had this joy. And you know, the people that went to his church had this joy. And I just, it was, my faith was a work. It was hard. It was like a slog. It was like, you know, a hot day in the Sunshine Coast summer walking to the shop. We'll get there, but it's going to take a lot of effort. Who's been there? Yeah, it was like that. And I just thought, they've got this joy. I don't have this joy. And I'm telling them about the Holy Spirit. Come on now. That's not humility. He sat me down. He said, well, just look look at Acts 2. And he said, and they received the Holy Spirit and they all began speaking in tongues. I said, yeah, that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning, you know. And then he said, well, look at Acts 10:24. It says, and they were already saved and they received it. He said, then Peter laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues and they received the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, you know, this is getting weird. Because, you know, this is something that I don't have. And then he said, look at Acts 19. In Acts 19, they were in Corinth. They went up to Ephesus. They found some believers, some disciples there. They said, have you ever received the Holy Spirit? They said, we didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. And in Acts 19, it says, they baptized them in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak in tongues. I'm saying this to tell you, you can be strong in one area and your faith not developed in another area. So I said, pray for me. I knelt down in his office about 11:30 at night and he laid hands on me and I actually did feel something, but nothing came out. And the next day I turned out, when I say I felt something, but it just came over me, you know, this, and his joy came over me and I turned up at university and my Christian friend said, what's happened to you? I said, well, I got prayed for baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Anglican youth pastor, Anglican. Who would know that the Anglicans can baptize in the Holy Spirit? If he can baptize Anglicans, he can baptize anyone, wouldn't you think? All right, so he prayed down, he knelt down in the campus dorm and he prayed. He said, that's it, just speak in tongues. That Sunday I went to the AOG church and I was about third row from the front. And they were all worshiping and I felt the Lord say to me, Grant, lift your hands up. I was sure that everyone was looking at me, you understand? And I'd never lifted my hands up. Sometimes you just have to yield to God. Sometimes you just have to obey and yield to God. So I lifted my hands. I began to worship him. And it was like the heavens opened all over me. I couldn't laugh for crying. I couldn't cry for laughing. And this inside me welled up this heavenly language. And finally, fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After being a dried old biscuit for years, began to flow from me. I'm thankful that God can move in our lives by sowing seed. I'm thankful all those years ago I heard about the seed of the Word of the Holy Spirit and that was sown in my life and I received the Holy Spirit. And all these years later, 40 years later, I'm still learning to walk in Him every day. The Bible, God says, folks, God says in the Bible, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They're all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. If you have a need today, the seed is there for you to have that need met. So I'm going to get you to stand up. Everyone stand up now. We're going to sing that last song.